Hopefully that's true for all of us. If it isn't, then we'll have an opportunity for you to do that at the end of the service. Would you bow with me? Father, we thank you now as we open your book, as we think about the teachings found therein. We pray that you would bless each one that's here as each of us strive to understand, to live out those teachings, not only in a sense in worship, but in our lives, that they might be lights to the world. Bless us toward that end always, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. We've looked at Onesimus a couple of times already. Does your life ever feel like an Onesimus, like it's a slave? You know, you're a slave. Do you feel cornered or trapped? A lot of people feel like that, don't they? Life seems to be moving by fast and you don't seem to be going with it, so to speak. Some people feel like just getting in their cars and never coming back, right? People have all kinds of ideas, but we can learn lessons about such ideas. You ever felt like changing your career? Many people have felt that way. Maybe you think you'd look good in a Mazda Miata, but if you could just get in it, you know. That's the way some of us feel, right? The rainbow seems to be calling. The yellow brick road, that's where so many seek to find the things that they want. How many of us have run after those shadows and not found what we sought? Possibly, when you think about Onesimus, what do we know about him? What kind of man was he? Well, he probably was one who ran off after the rainbow down the yellow brick road. He stole from his master as he did so. How did he get into slavery? Well, we're not told that either. Maybe he was a bad manager of money. Maybe he had a drought. Maybe he lost everything and had to enslave himself to pay off his debt. We don't know. We're not told. For whatever the reasons, he ran off and he appears to have taken money from the man as he left. And it would be many weeks and months before he returns home. But we'll get into that as we get into the lesson more. Apparently, he wasn't honest because he stole from his master. Even if we chase the rainbow, the pot's going to be empty, isn't it? These things never provide what men look for. The yellow brick road doesn't lead to Oz, as in the movies, as we see, to a great and wonderful land. It just leads to nothing. Only in Christ do we find the things that we really seek and want. Only in Christ can we find that eternal hope and that eternal joy. Where is the meaning to life? Is it in the world? Is it in money? Where is the purpose of life? When will it all make sense? Now, I'm sure that Onesimus had all of those questions go through his own mind. But we also realize that many times we have thought the same kind of thoughts, haven't we? Maybe we didn't run off like Onesimus. Maybe we weren't tired in the fields and tired of slavery like Onesimus. But we too have failed to reach the real hope, the real peace of mind. Onesimus, again, chased that rainbow, and it didn't really help him. Like all who do that, and like other examples in the Bible, he finally hit bottom, didn't he? We don't know if he continued stealing and was put in prison in Rome, and that's how he met Paul. We don't know. Maybe he had heard Paul preach at Philemon's home. We don't know. But for whatever reasons, either because he's in jail himself and meets Paul, or he goes to Paul while Paul is in jail as a Christian, and he is converted. And now he's a brother in Christ, and apparently he really made major changes in his life because Paul very much wanted Onesimus to continue to help him. Paul has a prisoner chained to each hand, perhaps. At least to one. And Paul needed a lot of help to do a lot of things that he wanted to accomplish. Onesimus apparently became a part of that. So when he met Jesus through Paul, Onesimus became not useless anymore, but useful. Let's read verses 11 through 14 of the book of Philemon. Paul wrote, "Who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. I am sending him back to you. You therefore receive him," that is, receive him like it's me, in other words, receive him as my own heart, "whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains in the gospel. But without your consent, I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be by compulsion, but voluntary." So Paul wanted this man to help him. And he wanted his friend Philemon to know that. But he's not going to order him, even though he's an apostle of God. And he could have said, "You do this, God wants it." He didn't. He said, "I have sent him back to you. It's up to you." We'll talk about that some more. All people, Christian or non-Christian, all of them have some worth, do they not? We're not totally useless in any sense. We're made in the image of God, all men are. But that doesn't save people. The fact that we were born in the image of God. Instead, we must serve him. We must obey him. We must become Christians. We must live the Christian life. Outside of Jesus, we are marred by sin, and that keeps us from being all that we ought to be. Onesimus, as a runaway slave, is going back home. In fact, he's carrying this letter to give to his master from the Apostle Paul. He's the one that's going to hand it to him in person. Our worth, and people of the world, even though they're not in Christ, our worth is, until we come to Christ, is marred by sin, isn't it? It's marred. We are not of great use to the kingdom of God because of sin, and sin is controlling our lives if we're not Christians. We were meant to be, and God resupplies that. We were meant to be in the image of God and to have God within us. But man was scarred with sin, wasn't he? The Spirit is not in us, and Jesus is not in us till we come to Christ. Secondly, Onesimus went from being a slave to a member of the family, a member of the family of God, and a member, you might say, of Philemon's family, at least his spiritual family. Notice verse 14 again. "But without your consent, I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary." Have you ever noticed how relationships change? You were a child, now maybe you're the parent. You remember how when you were a child, you liked to always go to grandma's and grandpa's, to our grandparents, but now you're the grandparents. You used to be younger, and now we used to be younger, and now we are the, well, you get it. So relationships change, don't they? Time changes things. There was a time when we were teenagers. My wife and I were pals and good pals and great pals and then engaged and then married. That was 49 years ago when all that happened. That's the way life, relationships change, don't they? Most of us can't fully relate to Onesimus. He was a runaway slave. But he returned home as part of the family of God and as a brother in Christ, as a fellow soldier of the gospel of Christ. And when the church sang, "When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there," well, there was Onesimus singing right along with Philemon. He's a brother in Christ. What happened? Well, Jesus touched his life. Jesus made a difference. Now, some of us made a decision to follow God even before we became Christians, right? Before we were able to shave or whatever the women do, you know? All of those things, sometimes we made those decisions as children. Then we became Christians when we got older. And I don't know the story. But others have not done that, have they? They've not walked down that path. Many are off chasing rainbows. This man had been on that same path. And he just didn't have the opportunity to know God, to know Jesus. Maybe he had heard, at least had heard Paul preach once or twice, but he hadn't fully recognized and received that opportunity, had he? He had not come to Christ. And many people in the world are kind of like that. It's not that they hate God or hate Jesus or anything like that. It's they haven't had opportunity. But if you're here and you're not a Christian, you have an opportunity today to respond to the gospel of Christ. That's what Onesimus did. And he became a worthy helper of the Apostle Paul. And he then was worthy as a helper for his master, who presumably released him. We're not told specifically. But as I mentioned in an earlier sermon, history seems to say that. Like Onesimus, though, we too were slaves. You say, I've never been a slave. Yes, we are slaves to sin. All men sin. Like Jonah, we too have run the other direction. When God said go this way, we went that way. We've all sinned, right? Like the rich young ruler, when he came to Jesus, he got so frightened he took off. He didn't accept at that point. Much like those at the banquet Jesus talked about, who came and said, well, I just got married, or I just bought these animals, I've got to test them, and all of these things. They didn't fully make that decision to be a part of God's banquet. Let's look at Romans 6, 16 through 18. Paul said, do you not know that to whom you present your bodies or yourselves as slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were the slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Now things are different. We have come to Christ. Things are different for us. The Lord has touched our lives. We're now more like that tenth leper who went back to Jesus and fell at his feet and thanked him. Or like that demoniac who, when he was healed, wanted to get in the boat with Jesus and go with him. But Jesus said, no, you've got a mission here to your own people. You go to them and tell them what I've done. We're all part of the family, aren't we? We may have gone from segregated to integrated, or excluded to included, or from no rights to equal rights. You may have been, you know, you may have made that decision as a teenager, or not at all. But we as Christ, in Christ, we have made those decisions, haven't we? And we are stronger because of it. We're not strangers to the body of Christ. We're a part of the body of Christ. And when you think of the brethren in Christ, all the brethren here, when you come into Christ, they're your brothers and sisters. And all the brethren throughout the world, they're a part of your family. So when I go to Africa and I sit down to take the Lord's Supper in a congregation that is all of a different color except for me, that's my brothers, you know. Or when I go to other parts of the world and sit down with people of another nationality, those are my brothers and sisters. We're all part of the family of God. It's a large family, and it's always growing. Even though some congregations are going backwards, The body will not end as long as this world stands. You might even say it's wild in one sense. It's a incredible family, though. And it's made up of all kinds of people. And most importantly, if we belong to it, it's our family. Praise God. We're no longer slaves, no longer slaves to sin. Apart from God and apart from Jesus, we can sit at the table. We can take a part of the table and be accepted before God because of that. We can sit down together and we can have fellowship. Onesimus left as a frightened slave, as a frustrated slave. He returned as a prince. How a prince? Because the blood of a prince is what brought him in, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's the one, Jesus, who brings us into the family, right? Better than chasing rainbows is entering into an authentic relationship with God, the King of Kings, Jesus, the Lord of Lords. Do you know Jesus? He wants you to, if you don't. He wants us to change the directions of our lives if we're not walking the path. He changes our values. You know, at one time, some of us pursued the things of the world. To some degree, all of us did, because we were in sin too, all of us, right? Now go back to Philippians verses 18 and 19. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. That's what Paul had said as well. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. But just as you presented your bodies as slaves to uncleanness or of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now, present your members as slaves of righteousness. You ever had a title to a car fully paid for? Or some other item? Doesn't that feel good? Not to be in the red? But most people, if they get that title, they go trade it in on another one pretty soon, right? Well, we understand what debt means in the world, to be in the red. But spiritually, without Christ, we're in the red, in sin, deep in debt. You know, every sin has a consequence. There are many kinds of sins, from the itsy-bitsy ones, as we would say, to the real big ones, right? But they're all sin. From the little white lie, as we call it, to the worst sin you can imagine. They're all sin, and they separate us from God. But we can overcome that. Onesimus was obviously in the red, not only in a spiritual sense, but he had stolen from his master. He had run off. Well, in the meantime, what does the master have to do? Well, he had to go down to the temp slave office, if we can make up such a thing. And he had to rent slaves, right, to work his fields, or workers, somebody to work his fields. So as Onesimus is gone, the bills are piling up and up, and how's he ever going to pay for it? Even if he became such as a one because he had borrowed money, how's he ever going to repay all these weeks and months of earnings that he has wasted? The cost is going up and up. And when he takes this little postcard, as we might call it, the little letter of Philemon, and he carries it to his master and hands it to him from Paul, he's going to be freed pretty soon, isn't he? He's already freed from sin, and he may be freed from his debts. Because Paul says, if necessary, he will pay for it. He seems to be indicating that he would even buy Onesimus' freedom if necessary. All of the charges. Wouldn't you enjoy having a friend like Paul if you don't? One who would do such a thing? I've seen people like that. I've known people like that. Maybe you have too. Those are great people in anybody's eyes, aren't they? People that we can depend upon. every time we have cheated, or every time we have some moral failure, or every lustful thought, these are amassed upon our souls until and if we receive Christ and are baptized into Christ to remove them. So our debts are going up and up. Jesus looked to the Father and looked to the Spirit and said, I'll pay the debt. And he came down and walked among us as a man. And he paid that debt. He allowed men to beat thorns into his skull and to spit on him, and to drive nails into his wrists and his feet, so we could once again have access back to God. So, when we come to Christ, we believe in him, we repent of our sins, we confess him as Lord, and we're baptized for the remission of sins. In effect, it's like we're taking this sheet up to God and saying, paid in full, paid in full, paid in full, paid in full. Jesus paid it all. Once we do what he tells us to do. You know, I baptized people in their 80s. I've also had the opportunity to baptize young people. But how much better is it? Of course, people may not have heard till they were in their 80s. But how much better is it to give our whole life to God than to only come in at the end? How much more can we do? So if that's true of you, then I encourage you to take that opportunity even today and to act upon it. Don't wait to serve the Lord. Take your stand for Jesus. As Paul says, having done all to stand, stand therefore. A picture like a soldier standing alone and conquering while he's doing it. A couple of, or maybe a application or two. Does God work? Does God Almighty work in Onesimus' life? Certainly, right? So he went from a slave to what? A son. From a pauper to a prince. From a criminal to a Christian, from a thief to one who could testify of what Jesus had done in his own life. He met Jesus, and he's eternally changed. He becomes a worthy servant not only of Paul, but of his old master and all his fellow brethren as he seeks to serve God. So when he met Jesus, the questions of life were answered. The void vanished. The rainbow disappeared. The yellow brick road was exchanged for a robe and a crown with God eternally. From useless to useful, from a slave to part of the family, from being in the red spiritually to being in the black, from being on his way to hell to an eternity with God. In the financial realm, it's easier to get into debt than to get out, right? Most people have come to understand that. But in the spiritual realm, it's the opposite. The opposite, because we have Jesus washing us continually as we strive to be right. Paul loved Onesimus, his son in the faith, that is, he had converted him. He did everything he could, even saying, I'll pay the debt, to get him released. Isn't that what men should do as well? When they see people enslaved in some way, whether it be in our world sex slaves or real slaves, as we see in some parts of the world, or those who are deprived in other ways, we should strive to set them free, shouldn't we? Especially to be free in Christ. And that's what Onesimus apparently did as he left Rome, and he carried that letter back to his old master. Jesus wants you in his kingdom. He wants you to be with him, with the Father, for all eternity. But there are some things that are necessary, things that many in the religious world are not telling people. Well, just look at the Great Commission. What did it say? He that believeth and is baptized. Well, they leave that word baptism off, right? So often. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that disbelieves shall be condemned. Or some of the other verses like, repent or you will perish. Or confess the Lord Jesus, as Paul was told. So we're going to have an invitation, and we give you all of those commands because the Lord gave them. And we want you to act upon them so you can be a brother or sister with us. Young or old, God wants you in his kingdom. If you're subject to our invitation for baptism or any other way, won't you come as we stand and sing?